Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. We got a warning. We're going to talk about UFOs, alien abduction tonight, and we have a great UFO panel, and I'm totally excited because this is my favorite subject. And as always, I'm here with Sherry Pang. Sherry.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Good. Very, very good. Anything new with you?
Let's see. Just the usual, sleeping on my days off. But, you know, I did happen to watch some videos and read some news, and I didn't see a whole lot that was terribly interesting. But the other day we were talking about Big Brother and being a surveillance state and all that, and I read this brief story, and I'm not an expert on it. I just kind of scanned it. But it had something to do with the Department of Homeland Security is now creating a database that will contain media people, so people that do podcasts, news, broadcasting of any kind. So apparently the government can keep track of all the media people and all that in one centralized location. So if they feel that somebody's saying something wrong, they can plug it into a list and find out everything they can about that person. So once again, we dig deeper as a whole, the government, into more of a surveillance state. Yeah, pretty interesting.
Well, I wonder if this is not only a surveillance state, but a surveillance country. It's too bad that we have to be, you know, watched over to whatever level degrees or anything. And, you know, free speech and being a free person is almost, it's very rare. I mean, I don't know if it does exist anymore with the state of media and the advanced technology that we have.
No, we're constantly being watched. It wouldn't surprise me if there's some desk jockey at the NSA in some NSA basement somewhere listening to Paranormal Horizons. And if they are listening, hello.
hope they can learn something, huh? Maybe for their making the world a better place, right?
Tonight we're probably going to trigger alarms with the CIA, you know, because we're talking about aliens and abductions, and, you know, anybody that's involved with those sort of things tends to get a little attention from our wonderful government.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, it's too bad. Instead of working together and making this world a better place, you know, it becomes a more of a spy operation, unfortunately. And I personally, is just wrong. I mean, that's just wrong. So that's just my personal feelings. But I want to do a quick introduction so I can have these people are the finest of the finest in the ufology arena, and just proud to have each and every one of them to come on board and share their experiences, help educate the listeners, and just share their feelings. So the introduction is Bear. We're going to talk about Barry Gaunt. He was our guest last week, and he was a last minute. Barry pulled me out of a jam, and I thank him so much for it. But anyway, he's going to be he's going to be the lead of this. He is the state section director of MUFON. So he is he's amazing. He's had experiences himself, very well known in not only ufology, but also in the paranormal. And also we're going to have Maria Wilson Duff, and she's also part of MUFON, and we're going to talk to her, and she's going to chime in, and just lovely lady, just love her spirit. She's really a great soul. And then we're going to have two experiences, David Trusty and Eric Mitchell. And so they're going to be on board, and we're going to go on to a round table. And we're sorry to hear that Travis Walton and I forgot her name. Is it Stephanie Dunn? They're not able to make it. They're quite not up to par tonight. So our thoughts are with them, and much love and sending good thoughts and good vibes. So just bring on our panel.
Absolutely. And I want to mention, if anybody out there wants to call on the show, if you have a question regarding the subject this evening, you can call in 215-383-3999. That's 215-383. I'm having a mini stroke. 215-383-3999. And this is the time and this is the show to do it. If you got questions about UFOs, aliens, abduction, anything like that, we have a lot of experienced guests this evening that know a lot about the subject. And with that, I'm going to bring everybody on at one time. So hopefully we can keep this kind of dialed in tonight. And it's going to be a lot of fun and really educational for anybody out there. So here we go.
Yay.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Maria.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Very, very good.
So
we
got
How are you doing?
Yep. Everybody
Whoa.
Should be on.
Hello, Sherry, Jason. How are you doing?
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jason.
Hey.
Oh, crap. Here come the helicopters.
Seriously?
What, again?
Is she joking or what?
No, I'm not
That's
joking.
Not
I can hear them outside.
Right, but they're quick. So I know we got a lot of people on, and so we'll try and keep it as organized as we can, so it doesn't get too crazy. But it's going to be inevitable that we're going to be talking over each other. But that's okay. This is a round table. It's a bunch of people, so we'll try and keep it as organized as we can. Who do we want to start with this evening?
Oh, let's throw Bear in first.
All right, Bear, you're the point man.
I love it how everybody just throws me in, and I love your comment on the DHS looking at all us media people and so forth like that. Good golly, the list is growing longer of who's watching my little corner of the world. But anyway, tonight we're going to just start the process, and we'll ask everyone on the show. And by the way, hello, David. Hello, Eric. And hello,
hey,
Maria. David, you
hey,
with us?
Hey, right here. Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
And Maria threw her head in there. I'm going to kick it back to Maria here in a minute. No. We're talking about the process. We wanted to start off with just using the process of being abducted and some of those strange things that we go through, like the why me's. Every time that we deal with a abductee, and some of us have dealt with several of them, and, of course, being one, all of the emotions and everything that's involved with it. And I just want to get everybody's take on all that. In my case, it was kind of like disbelief. Am I dreaming this? And then you go through the stage of, good gosh, am I just lost my mind? What do I do? And I was very young, and I was taking a time when in 1964. And it put me into a state of odd things because of the abduction and the people that were involved in it. I ended up going to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base as a child and being tested and so forth. And it put a lot of strain on my family and everything else, and it was never talked about during that time at all. And you grew up with having all these terrible thoughts and experiences and so forth, and you never forgot them. And then as I got older, it comes back and haunts me. Later in my life, when I started becoming abducted more regularly, and it's an ongoing case with a lot of these abductees. It's just not a one-time ordeal. And so let's just start off with that. We'll let anybody talk about it. David, do you want to start in on it? Or?
Yeah, just go ahead, I guess. and May 15th, 2016 changed my life pretty much forever. I was taken that night, and if you see, you know, I mean, you get confused. First off, I'm going to tell you, you know, did that really happen to me, and did I see what I saw? And you walking around and, you know, knowing that your family here is going to think you're nuts if you tell them anything like that. And I walked around and just for days, you know, a few days there, and my wife's noticed me. She said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" She said, "You act like you're going crazy." You know, little did she know I was. You know, there was nowhere to turn to here. And I was just scared to death. And, you know, and it just goes through your mind, just keeps going through, what did I do to cause this? Did that really happen to me? You know, then you've got these strange marks on your body and your way you're feeling. And, you know, and it's just, did that happen? You know, where did I get this from? You know, it's just so many questions, you know, just on top of one another, but no answers. You know, and that's, you know, basically the way you go when you start out. And, you know, there's nowhere to turn to, but, you know, just got to keep looking. And it didn't stop from there. On August 24th, 2016, it hit me again. This time, I knew what I was seeing. I was seeing everything. It just is, you know, awake as I am now. Now I knew, you know, this happened to me. And now I've got an implant in me that I can notice. It kept bothering me, and I kept seeing it, and, you know, and there it was. And the night, you know, it happened, you know, I was actually lured outside. And,
David, how can you tell you have an implant?
Go ahead.
How can you tell you have an implant on you?
It kept bothering me in my hand. It kept burning and itching, and I just looked down there after it happened, and there it was. You could see it just as plain as day, this big bluish-gray thing sitting at the palm of my hand. Wasn't there ever before in my whole life, but now it is.
Wow.
Has anybody ever looked at it, like a doctor, or has it been taken out or anything?
No. Byers looked at it. And he can tell you what it done. I didn't even know it would do this that day, what he done, you know, what he done to it. You know, he chucked the metal detector out to it, and I think he'd hit, what, one time, and that was it. And all at once, this and it went so deep in my hand, you could barely can even make it out. And I didn't even know this thing could do that. But when they come around and they're wanting to take me, this thing will heat up. It will get real bright. And it will start tingling. When it does all of those, you can mark it down. They're going to be here.
Wow.
Let me ask, do you ever sense it before they take you? I know you said the object, the implant, gets brighter or whatever. Do you ever, like, sense it beforehand, like maybe the day before or a few hours before they take you? Like a sense of, like, impending doom or whatever?
Yeah, I get a feeling that something's going to happen, and it'll happen. You know, I get that all the time. I see stuff, you know, even before it happens. But, you know, when these guys come around, I get a certain feeling. I get a taste in my mouth every time. And then it's worse the next day after, you know, they've taken me.
Now, are these the gray aliens?
What kind of markings you've been getting?
Oh, I've had markings, you name it. I've looked like drill holes, scoop marks, triangular shape, just little, I don't know what, like cuts or something, whatever you want to call them. I don't know what to call them. Bruises. I mean, I've got them on me right now. And it's an ongoing thing, you know. They just don't stop with me. I mean, they like me for some good reason, but.
Now, are these...
You get scared.
The ones that have been, that you've encountered, are those the typical, like, the gray aliens, the short ones with the big almond-shaped eyes? Or have you seen other ones?
Yeah, those are the ones. I've seen three different races when I first started out. Ben Bear can get into this one later, but I've seen a fourth one now. But anyway, I've seen the three different ones, the small ones, and I swear... phase one involved, I'd kill that thing if I could. I've told you all that before. I would. I'd kill it. And then there's a medium size, about the size of us. And then there's a taller size. I mean, they're tall, probably 7 foot. Some of them may go 8. But none of them can be trusted. I don't care. You know, you can't trust them as far as you can throw one of them.
You know, I imagine
it's all involved together.
It's completely, you know, a terrifying experience. Do you have any idea of, you know, why they've chosen you or what their objective is? What are they trying to gain by taking you? Or like, are they doing medical experiments or reproductive experiments? Or do you have any inkling of what's going on?
You know, I don't have a clue really why they've chosen me, or, you know, why I'm remembering what I do. But, you know, now, after, you know, knowing all this stuff and seeing everything and, you know, knowing what I know now, I know that my great-grandma had mentioned, told my father and him before he passed away. I talked to him. I got some information out of him. I come from a Christian family, by the way, and they just don't talk about nothing like this here. But anyway, I got stuff out of him. She would talk about the lights coming down, the little gray men coming out, going to get them and do bad things to them if they didn't go to sleep of a night. And, you know, I could see things before it happens. I always had my whole life. And I asked my grandma then, I said, you know, why am I seeing this thing? You know, she called it the gift from God. And she said, my great-grandma could do that. And that's how this all got started, and I've just kept tracing it back. And now even my mother, you know, I've got stuff out of her here recently. She would talk about seeing things, you know, and having spill things touch her and just like that. But, you know, I don't know. It may be an ongoing thing, you know, with families. I don't know.
What's your take on that, Maria? On those types of experiences?
That it's multi-generational. There's been a lot of that. I know that's happened with Eric. I'm not an experiencer. So I'm the one in the group that kind of sits back, and I'm kind of like documenting, like you said, the multi-generational effects that happened. But in this area where David and Bear and I live, you don't talk about these things, so it's kind of hard to get enough evidence to show that this is what's happening to each generation of families. It's hard to sit and watch somebody go through this and not be able to, they can't wrap their head around it. There's no way I would ever be expected to. The only thing we can do is just help to
Hello?
Be there and help them walk through it.
Oh, was that you, Bear?
Hello. Yeah, that was me.
I wanted to say real quick, we are going to go a little bit longer tonight. I forgot to mention that we're going to do an hour and a half. And really quick, I just had a thought. I don't know, it popped into my head, and maybe it's kind of stupid, but I'm adopted, and I had no idea of my DNA, so I did a couple of these DNA tests. I wonder what would happen if these experiencers took, you know, these DNA tests, because a lot of them, some of them have these health things where they check for markers for all this kind of stuff and haplogroups and all that stuff that I don't understand. It'd be interesting if a bunch of people that were abductees took this and see if there's any sort of really obscure commonality. Has anybody ever heard, or has anybody even thought of that? I'm sure somebody thought of that, but it just popped into my brain.
Actually, Jason, yes, they have. And we have someone on the panel tonight who's actually found out some information about that. Because we're talking about being multi-generational and doing this. And I apologize. I don't know what happened, but I got a feeling we're going to have trouble with the phones all night long. But Eric Mitchell, are you there, Eric?
Yes.
Why don't you field that one for us, all right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I kind of can. You know, the process that you go through is a very long one. Some people don't even survive it. Lots of suicides, lots of people that lock themselves up because they think they're crazy. But to get to your point in the question, I was documented when I was born with two holes on the top of my head, which sounds pretty nuts. And it gets pretty deep really fast for me because, you know, my father had it, my great-grandfather had it, so on and so forth. But the doctors thought, well, it's just a soft spot, you know, just like they always do, you know, back in the 70s. As I got a little bit older, my mother was concerned because the soft spot healed up. There were 2 1-inch perfectly round circles, cutout holes in my sagittal skull on each side of the parietal suture. So please forgive me, I have a little sinus problem tonight. But these doctors and geneticists never documented anything like that in the United States of America, so they wanted to use their services for free to document the genetic code that caused these holes. They wanted to do a lot of research and stuff like that, so they did. I think when I was around 5 years old, it all got documented. Well, you know, it's just normal to me throughout my life. It does freak out people that cut my hair or something like that because they're very deep, you know. There's also a slab of muscle underneath those holes, the same type of tissue that your heart and your tongue's made out of. It's like a protective layer. So that would also, you know, suggest that this is not malformation. There's a lot of malformations out there when it comes to bone dysplasia and stuff like that. But mine seemed to be so perfect and so well put together, it's always confused the heck out of doctors. And, of course, my father, he never, you know, got documented or checked. So as far as I know, I'm the only one remaining in America with that kind of condition, you know. Probably not condition, but, you know, the genetic strand that actually codes for that. And I don't have the piece of paper with me, but I just got a hold of L.A. Marzulli, who's studying the elongated Peruvian skulls in Peru. And they're finding that their neck running up into their head is pushed further back for the spinal cord to compensate for the misshapen skull. So they're labeling it a subhuman because it couldn't possibly be a human being. But I did get confirmation that these things do have those holes exactly in the same spot, and it matches up with the DNA structure.
Is there anything unusual about your DNA that they...
I think they counted like 12 different unusual things, but they couldn't attribute it, they couldn't compare it to anything. When they run your DNA into these computers, if it's not known, it ends up junk. But when they get a hit and they want to study something that's junk, they hold on to it and they find it with these 2 million base pairs. They lay it out. It takes years and years and years to go through 2 million base pairs and find L6 on your 4X and blah, 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 which does not match anything in their database. So they can study it, put it on the database, and we know it exists. So a lot of times anomalous, random nucleotide polymorphisms will just go straight to the computer, to the trash bin. So if you have something anomalous, most likely these machines are going to miss it because it doesn't recognize it. It just throws it in the junk, kind of like Stephen Greer's Anaconda Desert being, that it all went to the junk drawer. You know, so there's a lot of controversy on that now.
So now I'm super curious about this. I'm actually logging in to see if there was any parts of my DNA that weren't classified.
Yeah. It all goes to the junk drawer. You know, and you know, that's just normal science in America, normal science globally. It's so controlled. It's so sickening to me. You know, if these egos can't quantify it, it just goes in the garbage. We won't study it. We won't look at it. I think modern science has a real problem with doing that. in a lot of things.
They base it, yeah, they base it with what they know, and that's it, as far as it goes. You know, if they don't know anything from that point on, you know, well, so what? It goes in the junk pile. You know, that's true. It's very true.
Yeah, if I don't know what a tool's for, I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to leave it in the garage until I figure out what it's used for or what it's worth.
Exactly.
But
you know, and big old phone story with Eric, you know, I've told Eric too, and Eric told this story. We've told it before. Genetically, I'm a female. Who knew? And they was something else. You know, I forgot about this here. You know, I haven't really mentioned it, but I had back problems several years ago. And they done all the MRIs and all this junk here, and he come to find out I have got an extra vertebrae in my neck. And they cannot figure it out why I've got it. So, you know, go figure.
Do you think that when people have anomalies like that, is that to suggest that they have ET DNA in them, or there's some sort of alien hybrid? Because we see a lot about that on television, about these reproductive experiments, and the aliens are creating hybrids.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm glad he mentioned that, because he might have not mentioned it to me over the phone. What we're finding with Rh negative, the purest Rh negative people tend to actually grow extra vertebrae in their spine during their youth. And a lot of bloodlines are watered down and things of that nature, and it's not quite happening anymore. But a lot of, you know, people, especially women that aren't Rh negative, usually lose the fetus because the body rejects it. It's so different types of human beings that the body just rejects the baby. Now, luckily, we have medication to make up for that. But unfortunately, a lot of women lose their child not knowing the Rh negative, and you know, everything outside of Rh negative isn't compatible with each other. So the fetus aborts the baby naturally.
That makes sense. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done an awful lot of reading on that.
It's all very interesting. What's your take on it, Bear? You talk to a lot of experiencers. Do you have run into other people that have implants or other strange genetic anomalies?
Yeah, we find quite a lot of that. Most common seems to be, and I happen to be one of these people that have one of these, is behind my right ear, I have a BB that acts up, and we'll talk about how that acts up a little bit later about an incident that David and I had. But, yeah, even on the Rh factors, it is a a lot of the abductees will have AB negative or a very high Rh negative factor. You know, when you're talking about an abductee, most of these abductees, when they get this experience or anything else, they end up with physical effects. When they go to the doctor, it is kind of like they don't know what they're looking at. They'll classify you as everything. You know, some of us will end up with neurology problems, other kind of problems. But it seems like we're all able to be able to live in advance and get classified in all these other states. They really don't look at what is the problem. But I will tell you that most abductees do have some kind of implant. I've also been to the doctor and have documented that I have a inside. I had a brain scan done one time because of a neurology report, and they find a piece of odd metal that's around in a body. Sac that is in my sinus cavity, And as we all know, we have a lot of abductees will complain about nosebleeds, their sinuses bothering them, something being like put into their head. So yeah, it's extremely common. It's a terrifying thing when you're actually thinking about it, what they do, and you know, there are certain times when you can get back there. I'll reach back and I'll touch that BB in my behind my ear, and it will automatically like seem like it shifts, it moves. It's like saying, no, I'm really not here. And it will try, it will go deeper under the skin. And other abductees that I've dealt with always talk about that. Same thing with David. I know that David, if he plays with that thing, it will automatically start going away. Now, if something happens or there's going to be a sign, that thing will, a sign that he may have some kind of odd thing happening, it will pop out and almost start glowing. So, yeah, it's extremely common. I also wanted to say, after I got cut off and get come back, I interrupted Maria, and I apologize for that. But one of the key factors is and Maria is not an experiencer, but Maria deals with experiencers. She's helped us out. She's a state section director in MUFON, works with me as this and I'm the state director of MUFON. And we do cases within MUFON and without MUFON. But Maria is a super support person, and she has dealt with Eric, myself, David, and is one of those people that is kind of like our go-between. We have a lot of problems communicating with each other, and so we use Maria. And we all become very familiar with her because she is our backup when her gut will.
So I just looked at my DNA report. It's my DNA is 0.3 is unassigned, so it's not very much. But I wanted to ask Maria, since Barry, you were saying that she deals a lot with the experiencers. What sort of traumatic effects have people, you know, expressed to you as a result of an abduction experience? Do they get PTSD from it and things like that?
Oh, definitely. They definitely do. I mean, I've heard people, just imagine this. Somebody comes into your home and they take you out of your home. There's nothing you can do. You've been kidnapped, basically. They do experiments on you, and you're aware of this all the time. And then they bring you back home, or they drop you out in the middle of the field somewhere. That's terrifying. That's traumatic. There's not a support system, very much of a support system out there, unless you come in to move on and find people like us that try to help abductees. It's hard for someone to understand what's just happened because their friends, their family, they didn't see this happen to you. They don't understand why you're coming up with this crazy story of these little 4-foot men or coming after you with these great big eyes. They think you've lost your mind, and the first thing they want to do is take you to the sixth floor and drop you off. So that's why this is tragic. It's tragic when somebody can't get help, because like Eric had mentioned before, there's a lot of people that will commit suicide over something like this because they can't find help.
Yeah, I imagine you can't open up the yellow pages and, you know, and find
exactly
help specific to that. I mean, and I would imagine the mental health community is probably not so receptive. I imagine if if, say, I was to go, say, I was an abductee to a psychiatrist or a clinical psychologist, they would probably think I was completely insane. And I'm sure the culture is still like that.
Well, you're correct. Go ahead, Maria. I apologize.
All I was going to say is that, you know, if you can, there are people that do reach out to get help, but, you know, these psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists or counselors or even clergymen, they're not trained for anything like this. So it's very, very hard to get help to abductees.
You know,
go ahead.
Tanya Dunn couldn't be here with us tonight. And Tanya is a psychologist and also deals with regression of abductees, and she's worked with several. She's very highly vetted. I've worked for her before. She's done a lot of different cases for MUFON. She's had some famous cases. She's been on Anderson Cooper's show. Her abductees have been on those shows and so forth. She's worked with other things that then move on, and I continue to work with her, and she works with other like-minded individuals like Eric, myself, and David. It's very interesting, but you know, when you're talking about that physical, the psychological effects, you know, there's so many of them that a lot of the abductees will go into, like, they can even feel calmness. They get curious. They can have dream states. They can be panicked. They may have become thinking impaired. They can go into trance-like states. They can have memory lapses, nightmares. Even some of them have religious experiences related to a very spiritual and in some cases, like myself, I can find it being a spiritual experience in a certain way. They can go through personality changes, and they can have mental telepathy. And they also have a great fear of fear itself and dread. And then it goes into the psychological effects. The physical effects of it, you know, where your hair's burned, you feel dizzy, you have nosebleeds, you vomit, you know, you have all these headaches, all kinds of different things happen to you. And so you can imagine the trauma that all goes up this way, and these people are dealing with it, and they don't have any place to turn. They don't have a family, you know, their family. Like I said, here in this area, we're very Bible-oriented, and at the same time, you're like going, the social conditioning of the past was people who see UFOs and have experiences with aliens are crazy. And we don't want to talk about that. And if I have that effect, I don't want people to think that. And the first thing you get with an abductee, and Eric started, myself, and Maria, it's all about, you're not going to believe this. And don't think I'm crazy, and don't think that I'm this, you know, because they're always concerned about that because of the social conditioning that's happened in the past.
And I wanted to just remind our listeners this evening, we're having a UFO panel. And if they want to call in and have any questions for the panel, you can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. I noticed we did have a caller, and we dropped it just when I was about to get to you. So if you want to call back into the show if you have a question for our guests, that's all I wanted to say.
And a lot of Bear was talking about the physical effects that happen. This isn't anything that is short-lived. This is something that experiencers deal with for years down the road. They may get over it. They may not. I mean, it stays with them. Like Eric, we thought he was never going to get well again. And then, of course, David's going through a lot, and it's a lot of trips to the doctors. It's time off from work. It's things like that. it's just, it's like having a huge car wreck and you have to keep going back to the doctor and having surgeries and things. A lot of people don't understand that, and they're not very supportive of somebody that has to go through that type of ordeal.
Can I ask can any of you, when you talk to somebody and they say, well, I've experienced this, can you tell right away whether they are had a genuine abduction, or is it just a fantasy? Are you able to detect that?
Oh, yes.
Who would want that fantasy?
Believe it or not, it's become desperate.
I'd give them my experience in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, it is quite strange because we are able to tell that because, and Eric's dealt with this too, and I'm sure he'll comment about it, but there are people out there that are on ego trips. They think that it's kind of cool. And when you deal with an abductee, there is just something that comes across immediately that you know that that's the real thing. And I've dealt with other people that have said stuff, and there's certain catch words and certain things that abductees know and do. And boy, when they start talking about it, it hits. And then when you deal with them, and Eric knows this, and so does David, when I deal with them, you know, I've had my experiences. You don't give them all the information at the same time because you can't handle it. You've got to give it out at certain intervals. You know, one of the things of dealing with abductees is that it's not just taking a report and saying, see you later, sorry you got all these problems. The people who care, like myself, Maria, Eric, David, and everything else, we will talk to people and we want, and we've become part of a family. You know, it continues to be because we're our own support system. We're everything that has that way, and we deal with them for a long, long time, and they become friends and so forth. And it's very important. And other abductees always enjoy and want to know, is there someone else out there like me? Because it relieves that thing. I remember when I first introduced David to Eric, that was quite a relief to him. He knows and now that there's other people. Even though I'm an experiencer, I'm working at it from another angle. I'm also trying to help him through this stuff. And it's always better to hear that there are people out there going through the same type of thing that you are going through. But yeah, you can definitely tell the real ones from the fake ones, let me tell you.
You talk to Eric. I had a 9mm stuck in my mouth, and I come here pulling the trigger 3 or 4 times, and just something held me back. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And that night I talked to Eric, and it felt like the weight of the world was gone. Heck, there's somebody else going through this too. You know, wow, you know, he knows the same thing I do. You know, and I'm sitting here telling him, and not once he's going, wow, that happened to you too, you know. You know, here we were. We just automatically knew. And it's a big relief. It is. I mean, if anyone's out there hearing this, contact us. You know, we'll help you if we can. Because we know we're going through it. And, you know, we've been there, we went through it, and still going through it. And, you know, I hate to tell you, you will too.
It's amazing how people come to us in our time of need. So we do have a caller. I'm going to bring them on real quick, and maybe they have a question. I don't know. They could be listening. Let's find out. Caller, you're live on our UFO panel. Do you have a question for our panel? Is anybody there? Hello? All right, I'll put you back on hold. I'll put them back on hold and give it another minute. We'll see if they want to come on and have any questions.
Hello,
did you? Okay. I didn't hear. Let's see. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Do you have a question for our UFO panel? Maybe it's the NSA listening to us. Hello.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. I do have a question. I've always been interested. Now, is a starseed person in this earth really a UFO? You know, like there is articles about starseeds.
I'm familiar with that one. I don't know if anybody else.
Yeah, you're talking about Star Children Star Child, people that can maybe abductees, or their mother or father could have been an abductee, and they come out with special gifts, if you will. Very intelligent, it happens quite a lot with the abduction scenario, and I think the best person that could field that question would be Eric Mitchell.
Oh, boy. can you maybe specify the question a little bit?
Yes, sir. You know, like the movie Starman?
Which movie? 80s?
From the 80s?
Oh, I know what movie she's talking about.
You do? Like a cocoon. There we go. Okay. The
oh, cocoon.
Movie.
Yeah.
Does that really happen? Where people can get younger?
I don't know if the movie has ever happened like that. I think entertainment value really gets twisted around when things come out. Reality never works like movies do. And that's why we're finding ourselves upset all the time when things don't work out and happily ever after never happens. But it's to my belief that when you have a mother and a father, they both get together and they're both abductees. Sometimes you do end up with children that are extremely special, extremely intelligent. And naturally, when these objects come around, they have no reaction whatsoever, no fear. It's almost natural to them to look at it and be fine, where everybody else would run away.
So does that mean that they have like some sort of commonality with the DNA, or like their star children are a hybrid, or are they just experiencers that have some sort of relationship with the ETs and are blessed with abilities from the ETs?
Well, I've spoken to a lot of parents that, hold it back for a lot of years and kind of just lean off to me and say, you know, Eric, I think something happened, you know, during conception. I think, there was intervention involved, you know, and they said, well, I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, it really feels that way. I mean, my kids, you know, my daughter, she was 14 years old and in college. She's 23 now, and she's completing her master's degree in biophysics. So, this kind of thing's not explainable other than some type of leap in evolutionary event. It sure didn't come from her mother. It didn't come from me. It's like, where did this come from? And it's just incredible. You know, my youngest son was having experiences with me and my daughter. And he went from a C student to correcting his teacher almost overnight. Of course, with my IQ, it went from 110, you know, just laid back redneck in the middle of the woods, to, you know, somebody that can understand anything I put my hands on except the computer. It's a 40-point shoot from 110 to 150 in about 4 years. So something, you know, incredibly miraculous goes on. There's a lot of things that you can look at, like epigenetics. You know, if you have an experience, it's logged into your DNA. And in the future, when people say they had an experience with this or they had an experience with that, you can look at the genetic line and really see where that instant took place. And I can't wait for that to happen, because I think it's going to unlock a lot of things for everyone, not just experiencers, but people that need to take lie detector tests and prove their innocence and so on and so forth.
I have a cousin that got a PhD from a major university when he was like 14. He was even on the show Ellen. It never even occurred to me that, you know, maybe there's some starseed connection. I know there are a lot of support groups and Facebook groups having to do with starseed and star children. But I don't know a lot about that. Did Eric answer your question, caller?
Yes, well said. Thank you. Very interesting show. Love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll put you back on hold. Yeah, so the car seat is big.
Yeah, you know,
it's all over.
And yeah, it's quite an interesting field when you start talking about inductees, the multi-generational way to go into abductee and everything else. But there's also so many other things that abductee experiences. You know, as we go through the abduction, right after the abduction, you go into this high strangeness thing where bizarre things happen in your home. And it can be from having paranormal activities. And, you know, we also deal in the paranormal. And it's funny how Marie and I will find that there are people that always will tell you that you're there in their house. One of the questions we ask in our questionnaire is, have you ever had any other experiences? Like, have you seen a UFO? That's amazing how many people have. And this high strangeness stuff can be from seeing orbs, shadow figures, light balls, you know, and also having new abilities. And I know that you can, in our cases, we all have the ability to start being able to read people, you know, and you go places and you'll look at something and you'll look at someone and they will look at you and some of them will walk away, but you end up finding a whole, you just feel them. You know what they've been through. You know if they're good, they're bad, you know everything about them. And then at the same time, then you have these individuals that will automatically come up to you and all of a sudden be open-minded and go, hey, I've been through that also. You know, and it just comes out of nowhere. And Eric's had it, and David's had it, I've had it. And it's very unusual. And why don't we talk about some of those experiences, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, yeah, the one I had at Walmart that time, I was getting onion rings, and this lady come up behind me. I didn't even hear her come up, and she said, you do know you're attracting them, don't you? And I went, huh? And I stepped back down, and she said, yeah. And she's like motions with her hand, you know, pointing up, and she said, yeah, you're attracting them. And I kept looking up, and when I looked back down, she was gone. It took me a few seconds there to remember what she was talking about. And I went, oh, man. So I went to look for her, and the other, long story short, I never did find her, but yeah, I've had, you know, people like that, and I've had another one here recently come up and say, I know what you're going through, patted me on the back, walked off, you know, and,
yeah, and you also,
I knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
you think they're ghosts?
Oh, no, they're just ordinary people, but, you know, they've been through what we have.
Oh, okay.
David, if you don't mind, tell them about the story when you're having dinner that one night.
About what now?
About the night you're having dinner. And
oh,
you,
God.
They've
been so much happened here.
I know. You told me a story of a lady that you're having dinner.
Oh,
and,
yeah. We was at Taco Bell. And...
Mm-hmm.
She came in with her husband, sat down, and I looked at her. I mean, my heart about come up into my mouth, which it probably did, and hers did too. And my wife, Sheila, left, and he went back up to the counter, and we both about the same time pointed at these places that was on our Bible, which Bear's got pictures of them. And I pointed to mine, she pointed to hers. And, you know, and when we got to talk, all we got to say, you know, is I know, and she said, you know, she said, I want to thank you for holding my hand that night, you know, to get me through that. And I won't I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you know,
that,
because as
that was
as,
to
as,
imply it was on a ship or something, like a shared abduction.
Yeah, they had us somewhere. I mean, but you know, we're, I'm pretty sure we was on the ship that night.
Oh,
and that's very, it's very common. We've had, I've had stuff like that where I've met people that I've actually seen on a craft, and we'll actually talk about it. I've even had an experience with David himself at one point, and there's all different kinds of things that happen. And it's just kind of a, you know, it's weird. We identify with each other. We know that, and there's other experiences that we all have. Eric has had some very special experiences with high strangeness. Why don't you mention some of that stuff, Eric?
Sure. I mean, I think anybody can look it up on YouTube when it started to happen. But a black bird started falling out of the sky in central Arkansas, and the majority was hitting the side of my apartment. You know, I thought it was a kid playing with a baseball, and then it hit again and hit again. So I went outside, and these birds are flying into the side of my apartment, and they're breaking their own necks. And I know it sounds like a science fiction movie, but anybody with YouTube can look up what happened there. The CDC came out. They were very concerned. There was no official explanation. A lot of people were panicked. They put it on the local news, and then eventually they put it on the national news. And I think it's funny because my girlfriend now that lives in Las Vegas, she actually saw that on the national news and told herself, well, that must be UFOs. But it turned out to be her future boyfriend going through a little bit of hell. But, you know, the lights will flicker, the TV will turn on and off. I had a radio that would go off every morning at 3 a.m. with around a 500 hertz range, very loudly, on a constant basis. I finally wrapped that thing up and threw it away. I eventually started experiencing telekinesis, which is a very, very profound experience. You know, I know they show some of the stuff like that on TV, but the experience is like you're going about your life, and all of a sudden you're in a deep meditative state for no apparent reason. And once you gain focus, something's floating under your hand. You get angry. Your television explodes. You know, that happened in front of my kids. There's so many different things that you go through. So, you know, every single day that you don't want to believe that this is real, more piles up in your face, and it's like you can't deny it. You couldn't possibly deny it. And unlike the movies, every witness after witness, state after state I've moved to, I've probably left behind 200-300 witnesses that have seen some miraculous things. I was knocked down one night by an object, by this very strong vibration. It really hurt me a lot, and it did something to my brain. And I have no idea how it happened or what happened, but it left me with a very uncanny ability that I've had to study very vigorously throughout the years. And I'm probably no further than day two when it comes to trying to understand the phenomenon. But there are, you know, other times and instances. You know, I'll walk into a store, and a lot of times it's like mentally handicapped people with autism, Asperger's, and things of that nature. They will immediately know I'm in the room, and they'll walk directly toward me. Whether they're verbal or nonverbal, they will literally start talking to me like they've known me their whole life, and it pretty much happens wherever I go. You know, it's like a beacon. You know, people just want to walk up to me and say stuff, you know, and I find that very amusing because, you know, I've looked deeply into quantum physics. Schrodinger, who quoted the number of all minds in the universe is one, which I completely believe, you know, through quantum entanglement and the nature of, you know, physics itself. So people pick up things not knowing it, they pick it up, and they're drawn to that kind of thing. And, you know, if you ever see people rush into a Walmart with a basket, I'm going to get three things real fast and get out, and that slow playing music and the, all the colors and packaging, they just kind of slow down and get into a trance-like state. And I think it has a lot to do with that. But, you know, people as a whole, the universe as a whole, is kind of like the a wave of an ocean, you know. The ocean's one thing. Why do we call this a wave? It's connected. It's all one thing. A wave, it's, you know, it's an expression of what the whole ocean is doing. So when you consider yourself a person, it's an ego-driven thing. But when you realize that we're all one thing and we need to work for the betterment of everything else, perspective changes into a completely different culture that we should have already evolved in without the amount of greed that we have in the world. And I know, Bear, I'm sorry, no rants.
No, well, you know, it's so true that there is such a heaviness about us helping others, and that's one of the things that we've all gotten together to do, to be able to bring other refugees together. We all have the belief that we all hold a personal key. There is, as you deal with the abductees, each one has a special part of this puzzle. I actually believe that abductees are the ones that will help with disclosure. If we can get them together, if we can all talk together, I have met so many different people. They all have different abilities. They all have different things. And it's amazing how it is that it always puts together for the betterment of man. And they are so involved with this goodness. They try to, the ego seems to leave, and it becomes this oneness thing that you were talking about, Eric. And, you know, it's just amazing. Getting back on the topic of these odd, strange things, I've had some situations happen. David's had some things, situations happen that, and I know Eric has, you go into these electrical phenomena after you've been taken or after this happens. You have these odd things happen with lights. Light bulbs seem to just want to just disappear on you. They go out all the time. You walk underneath one in your home. You better be prepared to be going to the store quite a lot and buying light bulbs, battery drain. You can get on your cell phone, hold it for a second, and it will go out. You can drive down the road, and the street lights, as you go underneath the street light, it will go out. Or it's an amazing type of thing, and it's something that's very rare, but it's experienced over and over again with these people that have these encounters. So
I used to.
I was one of them. Yeah.
I would blow
so many. It was unreal how many I would blow. Walk by them, they'd blow. They about banned me out of Moorhead Walmart. I burnt there twice by going through it. And she took me in the office. She said, "Are you really doing that?" I said, "Yeah, I can do it." She said, "How do you do it?" I said, "I don't know really how much, you know, I wasn't going to tell her how." And she said, and it's kind of funny. And I said, "I can blow your light bulb in your lamp." And she just laughed at me. She said, "Are you kidding?" She'll reach over here and do it. And I stuck my hand on it and went pop. And she sat there, and the look on that woman's face, I'll never forget it. And, you know, and that was all of it. You know, I went out, and that was it. You know, we just, I don't know, we just do things like that at times. But if you, especially if we've been taken, and I believe this, we've been taken off this world onto another place, that's when we can do it. Because somehow the polarities of this other place is not like what's here.
Yeah.
That makes
is
a
there
lot
any,
of sense, Dave.
Yeah.
Is
what
there
about the
any,
black helicopters? I'm curious about that.
About the helicopters? Oh, they've hit every one of us, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The helicopters are quite strange. That gets into the surveillance end of our lives. Abductees seem to have very mysterious things happen to them. time, advanced time, you will have these government vehicles show up around your property. It's amazing how many white and black SUVs that you come across. And even as I go out on investigations involving UFOs and abductees, it's amazing how many that you'll see. David has them at his house. Eric's had them at his house. I've experienced it at mine. And also, it's funny, like David said, we're talking about, all right, David, I'm coming down to see you. The next thing I know, there'll be a vehicle parked outside, and they're taking pictures of us. It's like kind of going, hey, hi, how you doing, you know?
Yeah, it's so unreal.
That's obviously overt surveillance and harassment. They obviously don't need the pictures. But why harass you? Why? I mean, what's their objective from harassing you like that? Just to let you know, hey, we're watching? I mean,
well, it's intimidation.
It has to be something like that.
It's intimidation.
One of the things, it's intimidation. One of the things that I think it is, because of the fact, and people may think this is odd, and we'll let the rest of the panel talk about it, but I believe that, you know, there's a war going on there. There are a good fashion amenities and there's a bad fashion amenities of working with the dark side of this government. And for some reason or other, with this, all this social engineering that they're doing and mind control that most of the people are, I think they find that people that have had experiences with these alien beings don't buy into their stuff. So there's a group that watch us because they want to know, why are we the ones that they chose to come and talk to? And that can cause us major problems. It's like my labs. I mean, a lot of the good experiences that you may have on a craft and the else are that, yeah, they're going to show you some, you know, you'll come back with visions of terrible things happening in the future. It's just amazing, and I think every one of us can attest to that. But you also, you know, they want to know why you, why did it pick you, and why are you immune to everything else? And that causes these MyLabs, and those are the ones that we never forget. Those are the ones that leave the bad marks. Those are the ones that have the terrible experiences, because it's almost like a torture, you know. And I think we've all been through that. Eric can speak to that. You know, I know David can. So we'll just let them talk about that. Sorry with everybody.
Well, if you want to see one of them here, you know, the government vehicles here, just drive up here. Within 5 minutes, you're going to see one. And that's no joke. Maria sent a little cartoon thing to me the other day. I mean, we made fun of that, but it's the truth here. And Bear's been here. He's seen it. Me and Bear had a heck of an experience the last time he was here. You know, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but every time he's been here, you know, they've been here. And if something happens to me here, guess what? Next day, they're right here. You know,
there's
and
an old
why,
expression.
You know,
that old expression, yeah, you David, know, if you want to find the rat, follow the big cheese, you know.
Exactly.
you know, we all know about, you know, the Tom DeLonge thing and the Pentagon admitting that they had a study on UFOs. Back in 2012, they say they closed down. They didn't close down. They stayed open. What happened in 2012 is that the money that was supposed to go to that program went to another program that was studying UFOs and compartmentalized in the Pentagon. My sources say there's at least four, and none of them know about each other. So, you know, if the Pentagon says, we're picking up on something on radar over in Kentucky, we need you to deploy helicopters and take a look around, you don't, as an Air Force base, you don't say, well, no, we're not going to do that. It's the Pentagon. You get your guys in there, get a helicopter, and you go check it out. So not all these people are bad. They're just doing what they're ordered to do. But, you know, they really, you know, it angers me. They should release to the public that the reason why they're harassing us is because they're seeing something that, you know, they can't explain or understand or anything like that. And so they survey us. They follow us, and I know this 100%. You know, I hate to name drop, Lieutenant Colonel Dallas C. Wood of the Pentagon was caught red-handed, stalking my family, staying at the closest hotel to my house. He had pictures of my kids at Walmart, pictures of my kids in the park, pictures of me at work. This guy did nothing but live, eat, breathe, and sleep me, you know, and try to figure everything about me. So, you know, I can say firsthand that these operations are going on, not by speculation, but by happy accident that, you know, this man was caught doing what he was doing.
And that is, and part of his case and part of the situation, and it's a continual ongoing thing. It's terrible, you know, and it's something that we deal with all the time. And you tell people that, and they go, "Oh, you're crazy." But then all of a sudden, the people that hang around you a long time and everything else notice that, "Hey, what's that vehicle over there? Why is this? And why are, you know?" Gosh, we were doing a radio show the other day on Black Triangles, and two helicopters came over our house, and guess what? Over my house, and I was knocked off the radio. It's amazing. And I don't even know how many people listen tonight. I don't know if we're just talking to ourselves because they've already interrupted the darn show. I'm not too sure. But I do know that they have a large effect on it. They do quite a lot of things like it. So
it's pretty safe to say the government's listening to the show tonight. I just want to say, please don't disappear me. That's all.
Yeah. If you can hang around us, and you'll get your chance.
It's funny. We all have a problem, and Maria knows this. And if anything happens to me, if I do something odd, and they say I committed suicide or something like that, that's not me. I'm not going to do that, so please investigate it. If I come up missing, same thing. David, same thing with Eric. We all have this connection, and it's always like, all right, we're not here tomorrow. We know why.
That's the terrible thing, and it gets really real. You know, guys, we really develop a sense of humor because, you know, it's a way for us to deal with and get by. But, you know, when a person has cancer, am I going to die tomorrow? Am I going to die 6 weeks from now? Am I going to end up in prison for something I never did? These are real questions that, you know, we all ask ourselves. And we live under that fear, you know, and that kind of fear is terrible. You can't live a normal life. You can't live a normal thought process because you're constantly wondering, you know, they just spotlighted me in my yard tonight in front of all these neighbors. In front of all these people in Las Vegas, are they going to do something to me? And, you know, there was a lot of speculation almost 2 years back where I got very sick with something very rare that should have never happened to me, followed by a threat saying, if you speak, you will get sick and die. I got very sick. I mean, you can see my skeleton. No doctor can help me. Nobody can find out what was going on. And because my daughter was into microbiology, she said, "Dad, you know, you need to see a mycologist and see if you have mycotoxins in your bloodstream. You have all the symptoms." Well, it turns out that's what it was. It was a very, very rare mixture of mold toxins eating me away from inside. I told Bear, I said, "Look, I'm getting these messages, but I don't know what they mean." Well, Bear, you know, sent them off, and we found out it was Russian. We found out that it was warning me, and then we found out I was very sick. So, you know, I can right away just say, aha, that's what's going on here. I was poisoned. Or I can say, you know, leave an open mind. Maybe somebody did something to me, or maybe it was just a fluke. But, you know, it kind of leads you to believe. Because during that time, my door got kicked in and I was dragged out of my house. I was accused of a lot of things by these police officers. They beat the hell out of me. I've never been in trouble for anything. And these people tried to stick me with charges after charges after charges of things that weren't even possible in my life. And they tried to give me over 10 years in prison until other experiencers got together and bailed me out. So, you know, it's just really, really tough because these police officers were harassing me before this ever, you know, occurred. So when you put it all together, you want to think, you know, with your most rational mind and say, well, it's just a strange occurrence. But when you put it all together and you have to live in this new world that was built in front of your face, you might want to say that there is some serious, serious things going on here. And, you know, it does lead you to, you know, live in fear, but also, you know, not talk, not get out there and educate the public. Just hide, run away.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask.
We all get, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Maria if she has encountered any of this government harassment.
No. I don't know anything, so.
Well,
they don't think I do.
If you're interviewing people, maybe. I thought maybe something would have happened if you were talking to people.
One of those things where that if they don't bother me, then I can't put any kind of validity into anything that's being said. I haven't really understood that.
But
I would like to give a big shout out to Agent Hurley.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of our things that you know, I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of different people, and Maria I talked to quite a lot because we work so close together, and she knows the things that I've been through, where telephone calls, this odd device that we talked about last weekend that's on this telephone pole, some of the pulses that happen to me that make me ill and sick. But at all these other times, all of us that deal with Maria will have a concern about, geez, I hope nothing happens to Maria. And
it's funny, it all hits in a wave.
Yeah.
It really does. It'll go a week or two at a time, and then, I mean, I won't hear really anything, and then all of a sudden it's like I get messages, how are you? Are you okay? They do. I'm sure they do a lot of monitoring that maybe I am not aware of, but with what Eric was talking about with the toxins, the mold toxins, I don't know if anybody has ever heard of Kevin Shipp. He is an ex-CIA officer. He wasn't specifically ever talking about the abductees or anything like that. He was talking about the shadow government and the types that normal people don't know anything about and they laugh about. But they did that to him and his family. They put that type of mold in his house to kill his family because they wanted him to be quiet and to quit talking about the different types of governments and speaking out against the government, because the CIA was doing things that are against the American people. That's not what they're for. They're not to work against us. And they tried to kill him and his family with that type of mold toxin.
Tom Reed's father was also killed by it as well. They found a vial of it in his ventilation system in his office. He was a politician. Also, Max Spears, he came out a whistleblower and talked about a lot of things. Coincidentally, I heard from a lot of people he was trying to contact me, and he was throwing up this black goo. And that's what you do. It all dies and settles in your stomach, and you start throwing up black stuff. And he died very, very quickly from it. And there's more than just one person out there that's experienced that kind of thing.
Well,
you've got the
government against you. You have this huge army, and then you are just one person. I mean, they can constantly switch people out and monitor you and watch you and do things and break into your home and you not know about it because you are one person.
Yeah, put tracking
and
devices in your car, you know, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because, I mean, even where I live, I have my neighbors kind of watch. You know, it's kind of like a little messy media. My neighbor will say, hey, man, there was some kind of weird guy in this vehicle that we didn't realize he was over by your cable boxes and over by where your antenna is, and we see people around your house. What's going on? Are you all right? What are you getting involved in? And I'm kind of like the strange guy in the neighborhood because we have these close encounters with these black helicopters all the time and everything else. And I used to live not too far from there. A guy moved in, and it was a rental property, and black helicopter came down, and he comes outside the house, and he says, hey, listen, buddy, I've heard about these things. I've never seen one or anything else. And he says, what in the hell are you into? You know, why? And then within 2 weeks, he moves. And then my landlord comes down, and he goes, you know, he moved because of you, because these, you know, this thing, these black helicopters and stuff that happens around your house. And he says, you know, you're going to have to try to keep that under control. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Well, and then I can remember, what was it, just a, well, what, 3 years ago, whenever J-Town 15 came out and we saw all the movement of the military vehicles, and this was just supposed to be some type of military exercise. I can remember looking at Twitter and seeing this picture of this Black Hawk that was landed, and this guy in a ghillie suit was getting out of it. And I sent the picture to Bear and told him where it was, and he's like, oh, my God, you're kidding me. That's behind my house.
Oh, wow.
And then it wasn't, I just think of like 3 or 4 days later, I was outside working and I'm watching this helicopter, and it's a military helicopter. What are they called, Bear? The ones with the two propellers? Yeah, the Yes. I watched it slowly come over the top of my head, and it got down close to the power lines, and I'm sitting there watching it, and it goes down behind the tree lines, and I guess it landed, or it just hovered, because I never heard it shut off, but it landed into an area there was no way that I could get to it to find out what they were doing. But so I don't know why Jade Helm exercises would have been this far north into Kentucky, because all of that was supposed to have been down south in Texas and in areas like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the government has too much time and money on its hands. But I'm looking at the clock here, and we got only a few minutes left, so I wanted to let everybody plug their websites and Facebooks and radio shows and all that good stuff.
So I guess we can hear the crickets.
Chirp, chirp, chirp. I guess we can start with you, Bear.
Well, people at the NSA and the DHS, Bria and I have a radio show called Into the Parts on Blog Talk Radio. It's on Tuesday nights. You can catch us on that. You can catch that on Into the Far on Facebook. Nice Talk is Paranormal is on Facebook. We also have a website, nightstalkersparanormal.org, or the Night Stalkers Paranormal Research.org. I can never remember.
It's nightstalkersparanormal.org.
Yeah, thank you. And
we also have nightstalkersparanormal at gmail.com as well.
At gmail.com. And we also have Twitter feeds. And we're you can also catch us with MUFON. As I said, I'm the state director of the state of Kentucky. And so is Maria is the state section director of the Bowling Green sector. We're very active in that. And you can go to the MUFON site and be able to contact us through that. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. My Facebook page is, you can look for me, known as a Kentucky Truth Seeker also. So there's a lot of different ways that you can touch me, touch base with me. And it seems like abductees find me some manner or another. It's very interesting. I don't know about the other people. I don't know if David wants to be contacted or not. But
Contact me. Hit me up on Facebook. You know, I'm out of Facebook page now. Just hit me up on it. You know, just put my name in, and you know, there I'll show up. You see a tiger tank in my page. You know, you found it.
Yeah, and I'll also.
David, how are they going to look you up? How, what is your last name?
My last name is Trusty, but David Trusty.
If you can't get a hold of them, you can always reach me through or from Maria through one of those areas that we just gave you, and we would be glad to put you in contact with either Eric or with them. Eric, why don't you say how if you want to be contacted and how they can get a hold of you.
Facebook's always the best. I don't have any websites or anything to promote. I know a lot of ufology, you know, they go out there and they want to promote their books and everything like that. But when you're out doing the real work, you know, the only thing is, hey, contact me. I'll most likely know what you're going through, what stage you're at. I've worked with hundreds of people. Bear has too, probably thousands at this point from him. But just Facebook, Eric Mitchell, and I will show up.
You know, let me say something too. A lot of people hear us joking around here, just us, you know, the way we are. Let us tell you something. This is serious, but this is all we got now is to joke around with each other because we don't know nothing else to do. I mean, that's all we can do. But, you
that's
know,
right.
We know what you're going through. Just contact us. And we will help.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you all for coming on and partaking in this UFO panel. It's been very enlightening. And you know what? There's so much to cover. We're going to have to do this again sometime soon. So I want to thank you all.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
All right, Sherry, what do we got going next week?
Well, we're going to have a first-time guest. His name is James Tyson. James Tyson is with the Canadian Paranormal Society. He's a paranormal investigator. We're going to talk about what's the difference between demons and elementals. So I saw him doing a talk, and the guy was very, very informative. So he's going to come out right out of Canada. He used to be with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police for 28 years and paranormal investigator. He's also empathic, and he's going to share his experiences and actually talk about, like I said, what's the difference between a demon and an elemental. So we're going to have him next week. And the week after that, we're going to have Brian Roulette. I just saw really quickly a couple nights ago, Sin City. I don't know if you've heard of that, but Brian Roulette is Zach Bacon's go-to for his exorcism. And it was quite interesting to see Brian perform exorcism on a family that's been plagued many years with oppression and possession. So we're going to have Brian Roulette in 2 weeks.
Outstanding. Hey, Sherry, do you know what my favorite thing about Canada is? I want to share that with you.
What's
that? So you're familiar with Cheetos, right? The chip, right. You know how they're cheesy delicious? Well, I have a friend up in Canada, and Canada has a version of Cheetos. They're called Cheesies, and they are way better than Cheetos, and they're amazing. But you can't buy them in the States. It's terrible.
Oh, really? Do they taste Cheetos that you get at the store, or how do they taste?
It's so odd. They don't taste anything like Cheetos. it's almost like the cheese tastes like a fancier, more robust, bittery taste, but they're so addictive, and I wish we could get them in the States. So if anybody is up in Canada and wants to send me some cheesies, I'd be most grateful.
Well, maybe you can order them.
They're on Amazon, but they're ridiculously expensive. I had my friend went up to Canada and bought me like something like 70 bags of them. And I ate them all in like 2 months. Well, maybe it was a month.
Oh, my
goodness.
It was
like, it's just, they're so great. So hats off to Canada for creating cheesies. Anyway, that's my side note.
I want to thank again Barry and Maria and Eric and David, all of you. Thank you from both of our hearts for your time and just sharing your expertise, your experiences, and helping others that are listening where to go. You're not alone. There's resources. These guys and gals, very phenomenal. I know them personally. They're just, to me, I can't thank them enough and have enough respect for each and every one of them. So I highly recommend them myself. And, yes, you know how to get a hold of them. And until next week.
Yeah. So I want to wish everybody a safe week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu, and I'll just end the show with a short promo from our friend Bill Bean. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Peace.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.